kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine.
Are you?
Not dead. Yeah. I exist.
I am so under the weather this week, I can't even put it into words. I am just so exhausted, and I don't know why.
You sound very tired.
I haven't slept so much anymore, and I don't know why. It's just endless sleeping for me. I'm just so tired.
That's old age catching up to you is what that is.
God damn this podcast. The years are adding up.
Thank goodness we didn't have 74 million interviews to do last week. Never been so glad to get past a week as I am that one.
Yeah.
Like every time I sit down and look at my planner and there's no interviews for the week, I'm like...
Remember that one week
where we did more interviews in a week than we do in 6 months?
Yeah, that was a crazy week.
It was a good
crazy
time.
But speaking of crazy, Aki's here. How are you doing?
That was a fantastic and accurate segue.
Excessively accurate, I might add. I'm good. I'm playing Crysis, and it is glitchy as shit, but it is still a good old Crysis that I remember.
Which Crysis? The remastered one for Xbox One?
Yeah. I started it 2 days ago, and I finished it on easy yesterday, and now I'm going to be doing it on the hardest difficulty.
Did you get it in the Black Friday sale?
Yes. Nice. Yes, I did.
So did I.
Yeah. And soon I'll be buying the Cyberpunk, probably, because might as well pre-order it. I want that Samurai Steelbook from Best Buy so bad.
Yeah, I got my pre-order in with Best Buy already.
Yeah, I was going to do it, and then they shifted it back, and I'm like, I'm still not sure it's going to come the fuck out. But apparently people have gotten it early and already have the game in their hands. So I'm like, okay, maybe now it's fine to actually
there's
pre-order.
There's physical copies out there. I've seen that. That's part of the news I was going to say. Is that,
haha, got to it beforehand.
Yeah. God damn it.
I'm on the ball for once. A little bit, kind of. Not really. But sort of.
But yeah, that is part of the news this week, that Cyberpunk physical copies have leaked out. And people are playing it in the wild, and it's apparently, coming out for real this time.
Yeah.
And I will believe it when it is installed on my hard drive.
I mean, technically, you can have it installed on your hard drive.
But, like, fully installed. Yeah. It's not installed until it's installed.
Until it's unlocked.
Yeah, if you ain't got 274 gigs of space being taken up on your hard drive by one game, it's not installed yet.
That's how big it is? Oh, no.
I don't know. I was just saying it's not that big.
I was about to say, oh, no, I definitely don't have that much room.
It was a Call of Duty rip.
Yeah. God, I still don't think I have enough room to install Cyberpunk right now, though. I need to finish some games at home. I mean, here... at my grandparents' house, I have an Xbox, and it's mostly empty. I could have played it here. No.
Mm. Nope.
My soul.
Speaking of Call of Duty, I reinstalled Black Ops Cold War just so I could try Dead Ops Arcade.
I'll play Dead Ops with you.
Cool.
I love Dead Ops. I tried to play with Lightspeed. Lightspeed's chicken shit, and he cries like a bitch when we play zombies. No, don't open the door. It's dark. Get out. Scary. It's terrible. It's tragedy.
He whines and you just piss yourself, so it's fine.
No, I don't. Well, I do scream out of just like giggle fit, but Like, oh, I'm startled. Ah! You know, because it's funny. But I'm not genuinely scared. Lightspeed's genuinely scared.
I don't believe that you're not genuinely scared. After all, who's the person who fear pees all the time? You.
I also pee when I sneeze, cough, and laugh. So, I mean, I've had kids.
Guess this is true.
Things are like, just not as secure down there anymore.
You know, my doctor literally had to put my bladder back in place after number three. I kept saying, I feel weird. He's like, yeah, I moved your bladder 3 inches. I was like, oh, there's a whole new organ there now. That's why it feels weird.
Wow. Damn.
So the fact that that's all I do when I cough or sneeze or whatever, and I don't full on just like piss down both legs is a fucking miracle.
Anyway, speaking of delays, since we're talking about Cyberpunk, Cuphead's The Delicious Last Course DLC has been delayed into 2021.
Can we just like take bets on which game's actually going to come out first? The Cuphead DLC or Cyberpunk?
I didn't even know it was getting DLC. So.
Put a bet on it.
I think Cyberpunk's actually coming out this time. I really do.
I think Cuphead has a chance of winning this one. No, I don't. I don't think either of them are ever going to get released.
Again, speaking of things that are getting delayed into early 2021, Ubisoft has announced that the online mode for Watch Dogs Legion has been delayed into early 2021. As they work on fixing bugs and squashing issues that have risen with the launch of the game. Because apparently they don't fucking beta test these anymore.
It's supposed to have online?
I didn't even know that.
I don't remember which company did, but one of the big name companies actually got rid of most of their QA people. I don't remember if it was Ubisoft or not. So it very well might not have been beta tested.
Yay. There is a big problem with QA and AAA titles. I don't mind paying a blockbuster price for a blockbuster game, right? But I want that shit to work.
Yeah.
And there has been a lot of problems with Black Ops is just riddled with issues right now. To the point that I bought it on PC to get rid of some of the issues I was having on Xbox, and I'm having a whole different slew of issues on PC.
Well, that's on you for rebuying the game.
I didn't rebuy it. I bought it because I, even though I already owned it from a different source.
Okay.
But it's not a rebuy. Well, I did rebuy it. I gifted it a couple of times, too.
So. Oh, Jesus. You're why the series is still around every year.
Well, yep. I don't like to leave my friends behind. That's not when nice. When they're
Call of Duty friends, they should be left behind.
No, like...
And gotten rid of.
Studa and I have played games together for, like, 13 or 14 years. And every year, we're just like, well, Call of Duty time. I mean, we skipped Infinite Warfare, because that was reasonable. That was a dumb game. We skipped that one. And we were going to skip a couple others, but then Joe was just like, hey, you want Call of Duty? I'm like, mm-hmm. And we got roped back in.
So, you're Joe, welcome. You're part of the problem, too.
Uh-huh. But, you know, like, there's so many issues, especially like people were talking about the Digital Foundry videos showing a couple of times where Xbox dipped under PlayStation and stuff. And on paper, that shouldn't be happening because Xbox has clearly got more powerful components and a more powerful architecture. But the problem that some of them were trying to say were devs were saying, oh, well, we got our PlayStation dev kits before we got our Xbox kits.
Yeah,
and that just seems like a really piss poor cop out to me. You know, like if you're going to ship on both platforms, and I think everybody should when feasible. If you're going to ship on both, you need to make sure there is at least some level of parity on both. Now, if you came to me and said, well, the Xbox and the PlayStation are running exactly the same, I'd be like, well, that's cool, that's parity, right? And mm-hmm. that's fine. But there's no excuse for one version running worse than the other when their specs are so fucking similar. And yeah, like I said, on paper, Xbox is just barely ekes it all out and everything, and that's fine too. But if you really boil it down, there's not too much of a difference there, right? It's a reasonable generation with reasonable expectations on both sides. We don't have something where, like, one console is a 4K masterpiece and another is a 720p Switch option, right? You know, there's reasoning. It's reasonable to be like, okay, they should run the same. And if they're not, you need to figure that shit out before you press the launch button.
I didn't know this was going to be Cole's soapbox of the week.
It's been on my mind a lot, right? Like, I don't know why. I've watched all the videos and I took notes over them and I thought about them. Because I'm like, at the very least, there should just fucking be parody.
Well, sometimes if time doesn't allow for it, I don't know. I don't want to defend the multi-billion-dollar corporations, but we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what led to...
They don't pay people enough and don't take the time that they need to get shit done.
That is also...
Multi-billion-dollar companies can afford that. They don't want to, though.
Like, the thing is I can understand deadlines and shit, too. And like, oh, we've got to get a deadline so that we turn a profit or whatever. Fine. But you need to hire an accurate number of people to meet that deadline and stop trying to expect one person to craft every character for a billion-dollar franchise. Like, you can afford to cough up for a few more animators and a few more 3D sculptors and just pay for fucking artists to get it done and do it right.
Yeah.
And you're going to be better off in the long run. This effort to push crunch and run on short term, you know, short staffs to try to, you know, maximize over the long term. In the end, it's just like, okay, you busted your ass and this one game did okay enough and you're doing well, but you could have like taken your time and crafted something really well that would have stuck with people for longer, and then you could effectively milk that franchise a little better. I don't like waste, and I just feel like short staffing yourself and screwing up your product to get it out quicker is waste.
I don't know.
Soapbox.
You mentioned turning a profit. One game that apparently still hasn't recouped its development costs, Marvel's Avengers.
Well, that's what they fucking get with that Spider-Man fiasco right there. I bet if Spider-Man had been on every platform, they would have recouped their costs.
Spider-Man's not on any platform yet. That's the funny part.
Yeah, the game just sucks. The game is not good at all.
That's also true.
It is a grind fest, and it's doing the same shit over and over and over every mission. It is just a very piss-poor game.
That's a shame.
Yeah. They could have done something good. Yeah, I mean, it was made by them. Like,
hasn't it been an instance of like every time they slap the Avengers name on something and expect it to be a cash cow like theaters where it doesn't quite happen?
What?
Like, they slapped the Avengers name, like they made the Avengers movies and they were big blockbuster hits and everybody watched them 70 million times and they're like, ah, Avengers! And so then, like, they make the games to try to catch in on that craze a little more, and then it just never pans out and the Avengers games always suck.
Yeah, I can't think of... Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
No. Most superhero games are not all that particularly good. There's been a few good ones, and most of them are Spider-Man.
Which is so weird to me, because of all the superheroes, Spider-Man is my least favorite.
Yeah,
he's I'm just like, I don't get this. This is the dumbest concept.
Well, that's because basically his only power is, oh, I have a net and I can climb walls. That's really his only ability.
This is a really dumb concept. This was the one they scraped off of the editing floor. Every artist and cartoonist and comic writer, they've all got them sketchbooks from back in high school shoved in the back of them drawers. We all have them. And then, like, somebody got to that one and was like, well, shit, we might as well. And here's Spider-Man.
I don't know how the Spider-Man games have been made well, and, like, they can't figure out how to make a fucking, I don't know, Superman game worth a shit. I don't get this.
It's because of the developers. Insomniac made the Spider-Man games. Of course they're going to be good. It's Insomniac. Yeah.
Superman is another horse of a different color, too, because, like, how do you make a character that is already level 9,000 right out of the gate, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's already impenetrable in every way. What the fuck kind of character growth is there for him there? Which is why Superman movies never do well, because we're like, well, fucking of course he's gonna save everybody. What was he supposed to do? Like, you would have whole stealth-ass missions where you have to go into the newspaper office and remember to put your glasses on first. That's your stealth mission. Like, oh no, you failed. You took off your glasses. Somebody recognized you. That's Superman.
Comic stuff, do you?
I like comics. I do not like superheroes.
Not even the X-Men? The hell is wrong with you?
Nah. Not even X-Men.
There's something wrong with you.
Like, X-Men is a little more okay. Deadpool was okay.
Alright, you got two good ones. What about the Punisher? Did you like the Punisher?
You know, the original comics are pretty good.
Yes, alright.
But the actual, like, the movies and stuff are a little more on the shady side.
Yeah,
and then now that... Yeah, they're just not... I don't know, right? And then
Thomas Jane was a really good Punisher.
He was a good Punisher. He was. He did a good job. And it's funny because when I think of Thomas Jane, I think of him from Tales from the Crypt's Demon Knight. And so seeing him in the Punisher was really weird. Yeah. And then I turned around and I saw him in the Stephen King's 1922. And that was even weirder. And I was like, this dude just gains and loses muscle mass like the snap of a finger. I don't understand. But yeah, I don't know. It's the whole co-opting of the Punisher too, though, as a right-wing thing has kind of made it a little harder to be like, yeah, Punisher's okay. Cause they totally read that shit wrong. They got a whole different story out of that than what I took from it, but okay. You know?
Well, even the creators have said that they don't like the Punisher being used by the right and by law enforcement. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
That's politics, and I don't want to get into that. What I will get into is the fact that Metro Exodus will be getting a re-release on PS5 and Series X and S. It will be a free upgrade for existing owners.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You said re-release and I was holding my breath.
Yep. It will be a free upgrade.
Control us.
Nice. I love that series. Okay. I love the Metro.
And they are apparently also working on a new next gen and PC Metro. And they mentioned the multiplayer is being developed by Saber Interactive.
Oh no. Not multiplayer. Metro is not a multiplayer type game. This is no. God damn it. Why?
Well, look at it this way. You're getting two separate products here by two separate developers in one package.
Yeah, but they're probably going to have achievements for the multiplayer.
Wait, was Saber Interactive responsible for WWE 2K? Battlegrounds. Okay, that's something different. Oh, but World War Z was good.
Yeah, Saber does some good
vampire,
stuff.
Vampire was good, however you want to say it. Okay, it's not a total lost cause, right?
I don't think Crysis. Saber Interactive is that bad.
I don't. Yeah. Okay. SnowRunner and MudRunner were apparently under Saber too. David loves that shit.
And Crysis Remastered.
Crysis Remastered. Yeah. Okay. They have potential. It'll be all right.
I don't want my Metro to have multiplayer achievements because that it's just not that kind of game, and that just hurts my soul.
You worrying about achievements, and they're just now making the game. All right, Carnage.
Do is worry about achievements. God.
Yeah, that's sad. But speaking of online games, Red Dead Online is launching as a standalone game on December 1st.
This is weird. The whole it's standalone, but it's gonna cost $4.99, and then they were like, oh wait, well if you already have it, you can have it. But for everybody else it's $4.99. Like, what are you guys doing?
Whatever will make them a little bit more
What's
money.
What's going on over there, Rockstar? Are y'all okay? And then, like, apparently they scrapped a single-player DLC to focus more on the online.
That doesn't shock me. No. They make more money from the online. I mean,
that's sad.
Remember, GTA, the newest one, whatever the hell number it was supposed to have single-player DLC, and they scrapped that. Completely in favor of just focusing on the multiplayer, because the multiplayer made them a fuck ton of money.
I mean, they know what they're doing in that regard, but I still sit over here and just like, what are you doing? Because it's so weird and erratic to like read the articles and try to piece together what's going on.
See, I already know they want to make more money, so they're doing the thing where they can make the most money.
I don't want to be cynical about it, because I think I try to be like, it's an art for them, and it's important, it means something.
But then you realize that they're releasing Grand Theft Auto V on a third generation.
You know, sometimes I forget that's the same company, right? And then, like, when it clicks to me, and I'm like, well, then of course it makes fucking sense. But on the other hand, like, they're such different games that when you're looking at them as two separate entities, you can be like, I don't understand why they're taking the Grand Theft Auto route. And then you're like, because they're the same things, you dumbass. And it happened.
At least you knew what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, like, I know it at the same time, but I don't like to think of them in the same bubble, as it were, because I don't know. I tend to like think of games in individual spaces. It's kind of complicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Like, you know how like a dev team, like the Coalition, is basically just never going to make anything that's not the Gears franchise, right?
Yeah.
Because it's right there in their name.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. It would be like, hey, the Gears devs are making Forza this year. And I'd be like, why? That's how it feels to me when we talk about Rockstar making both Red Dead and GTA.
Well, I have a feeling if they were going to stick to just one, they'd probably go to GTA. That is a longer franchise. They know they can always make money off of.
And they never have to make a new one ever again. They can just keep porting the same one to every new console. It's like Skyrim, but even worse.
God, I still haven't played Skyrim just because of how many times it was released. I bought it, and because it kept getting re-released, it just kept putting me more and more off the game. I still have yet to play that fucking game.
We need to find the dude who was making Skyrim play on a pregnancy test and see if he managed to get Grand Theft Auto on it, too.
Gee.
That's the true test of skill.
I've never heard of this.
What? You people never read my retweets, I swear to God. No, there was a dude who, like, I've talked about this before on the show. Sorry to anybody that's listening that gives a fuck. Nobody, but but there was a dude who literally took like one of the Equate brand digital pregnancy tests, right? That either say pregnant or not pregnant. Uh-huh. And he broke it apart and he rewired it, and he had to where you could play the original Doom via the pregnancy test screen.
That's insane.
And he was able to get the the Skyrim cutscene to play, or the opening sequence. I don't know if he ever managed to get it playable or not, but he did have Doom playable.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
God damn.
People are fucking weird. Thank you, people. Continue but to exist.
Grand Theft Auto clearly needs to be his magnum opus because it's on everything else.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, Lord. I don't know how to segue back to news.
That was news. Just keep going.
So, new month. December's coming up. Means new Games with Gold and new PlayStation Plus. Really? And Games with Gold sucks.
Oh, no. What is it? So I know how depressed it'd be.
All right, well, Games with Gold for Xbox One the entire month of December is The Raven Remastered.
Okay. Was not a bad game.
I haven't played that one.
Oh, you'll like it.
Yeah, yay! That's an Aki game right there.
Yeah, that's definitely a you game.
Yeah. I'm actually shocked that you don't have that game.
I reviewed it, that's why she ain't got it.
And then December 16th through January 15th is Bleed 2.
Eh.
Which...
I think I already have that.
Why? Why is that a free game?
Eh, because some people... Because it got really popular on the indie scene for a while ago, because it's old, but...
Wait, what was it? Bleed 2?
Bleed 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a good game, though.
It is, but as a...
I liked it better than 1.
As a game with gold?
Those are the Xbox One
games with gold. The Raven Remastered and Bleed 2.
I mean, if you want to be really bitchy about it, you could be like, well, but the Xbox One is the last gen now. And so it only makes sense that they're winding down and giving the lesser last gen games because they're going to gear up and start giving us good ones on the Series X. We know that's not true. They're going to shut the program down. But... Nah, you could be that way.
Bananas.
Yeah, I'm not the optimist in this situation.
Terrible.
I don't know. I don't think it's a good lineup. And then the 360 games are a bit better. December 1st through the 15th, the Saints Row Gat Out of Hell. Why are they giving us the old version and or the old generation version and not the Xbox One version?
I don't know. The older generation. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the decision behind that is.
Then December 16th through the 31st is Stacking, which I can understand them giving that
away because
it's Double Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that game. It was so fantastic.
I couldn't really get into it because of the animation.
Oh, that was one of my favorite parts of it.
It threw me off. The smooth motion with the jerky animation, it messed with me.
Ah, poor thing.
Yeah. Anyway, PlayStation Plus for December, much better than Games with Gold.
Yeah. But they don't have Game Pass.
Yet.
Oh, well, they have PlayStation Now, which getting better.
You can't even, say that shit with a straight face that it's comparable
to Game Pass. It is cheaper than Game Pass now.
But it's not better.
True. Very true.
Get what you pay for. Says the person who hasn't paid for Game Pass in 3 years.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, Cole, win me some Game Pass. Mine's going to end this month.
Black Friday, they just had 3 months for $20.
Yeah, it was already sold out by the time I had learned about it.
Ah, whatever. Anyway, PlayStation Plus lineup for December. On PS4 and PS5, you're getting Worms Rumble.
Okay.
Which is sadly not releasing on Xbox at all that we know of. It might be a timed exclusive, might be a permanent. I don't know what the story is on this one. It's a bummer to see Worms go console exclusive, though.
Yeah, that is weird. I didn't realize it was console exclusive.
Yeah.
Stupid. We know how I feel about that.
Yeah, and then PS4 is also getting Just Cause 4.
Okay.
which that's a hell of an addition. I think that's a big game.
Yeah, but it's broken as shit.
Is it?
I hate Just Cause.
David played it, and he loves Just Cause, and he was like, this is so broken!
Well, maybe it performs better on PlayStation.
No, I don't think it performs well anywhere.
Maybe.
If I remember from the Digital Foundry video, it was even shit on PCs, like high-end PCs. Yeah, it was just really piss poorly programmed.
Well, maybe it's not a good month for PlayStation then.
No, they can get fucked too. Welcome to the fuck show.
They're all terrible.
The third game, I can agree, is not that good. It's Rocket Arena, which
give that game away.
They added it to the EA Play library, 2 weeks after it launched as a $40 game?
I don't know. I never was even able to play it. I even tried after my review, and I still couldn't get it to go.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know, but that's a weird freebie. But Worms Rumble, I think, is awesome.
Yeah, that's fine.
Getting a brand new game launched direct to PlayStation Plus, that's a win.
But how many games are directing launch? Are launching? Wow, I have not had my medicine yet, and it shows. God damn, I can't put a sentence together. How many games are launching directly to Game Pass this month?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything on Game Pass editions lately.
But Pogs? How do you say that? P-H-O-G-S exclamation point.
I thought it was Fogs.
I thought so too, but then after I said it, I was like, that sounds stupid. I don't know.
It's spelled stupid too, so that works.
Well, that's a whole ass thing. That one is launching into Game Pass.
I didn't realize that one was. That's cool.
Yeah, on the third. And then there's another one too. Oh, I can't think of what it was. Shit. There's another, I don't remember. And I'm looking at the Game Pass.
I know Dragon Twitter Quest is.
I don't see it. But I remember there was another one coming too.
Dragon Quest.
None of it matters because Planet Coaster is there and you should just play that.
And Dragon Quest.
Which is arguably better than...
Shut your mouth. Shut it right now.
I am so goddamn excited that Dragon Quest is finally coming to Xbox.
That is a good thing.
I am so happy.
It's not something I would be inclined to be like, oh, let me play Dragon Quest. But, you know, hey, if you're happy... That's important.
I guess.
I'm so excited I pre-ordered it.
Color me surprised.
Digital.
Big shocker. You own like every game. That's not a collector's
edition. What are you doing?
I don't think there is a collector's edition for Xbox at all.
My glasses are dirty. I can't see a thing right now.
I'm not even sure if there's a physical release for the Xbox version.
Dragon Quest.
Does it matter if it's an Xbox edition or just any edition? It's you. You still want all the extra stuff.
Well, I already own the collector's edition for the game on PS4, though.
Huh.
Oh, so if the Xbox had one, you'd just have two of it.
Probably.
Oh, God.
Excuse me.
Oh, it might be a different collector's edition.
Oy vey. That's all I have for that. Just oy fucking vey.
I don't know. I tried to Google it, and I don't know what I'm looking at. So there's that.
Depends. Is Safe Search on or not?
No.
Then I can hazard a guess at what you're seeing.
I didn't have my glasses on, so we're just going to let that be that.
Jesus.
I was trying to clean them off because I can't see a damn thing. Spots on my glasses. I'm good now.
Oh, Jesus. So, any news either of you want to talk about?
I already talked about mine. Mine was the first one that we talked about.
I don't know. I done went all, like, soapbox enough, didn't I?
Oh, there's a group in the UK, a scammer group, that apparently they claim they've gotten 3,500 PS4s from scamming.
PS4s?
Yeah. Or PS5.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
They got 3,400 PS4s. What are you going to do, motherfucker?
A bunch of scammers got more stock than most retail stores.
I hope they get stuck with them. Fuck scalpers.
Somebody was trying to scalp an Xbox here, and I was mad.
There's a guy on my Twitter timeline who went and tried to buy one of the scalpers. I think it was an Xbox. And it was like almost $800, and the dude just took it off the off Facebook listing after he was paid, and he lost all his money because he couldn't get it back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm like is, you could deserve it.
Here they're selling them for $1,100.
And anyone who buys that deserves to not get it and to lose all their money, because they're the fucking problem. If they didn't do that shit, the shit wouldn't happen.
Like, I understand why a parent in distress would do it for a kid. Like, if that's the only thing the kid has asked for, you're going to throw all of your money at it, right? Like, I know that's a concept that's a little difficult to get if you don't have kids, but
or money.
But when you have a kid, it's like, I don't know. I think of like number one and number two and number three, who, you know, spend all year busting their ass for good grades, who are active and well in normal times, they're active in curricular activities. They do academic team and sports and band, and just they give it their all at everything they do. And so, like, if they were like, the only thing we want is a Series X for Christmas, then I'd be like, allow me to rob whatever I have to do to get it, right?
Rob it, yes, that's about that. $1,100, yeah, I'd
whatever rob. I have to do to get one, I would make sure it was under the tree. And so I can get it from a parent standpoint that, like, you want to give your kid something that's going to be meaningful to them. But I think, so I have a far bigger issue with people who just take advantage of parents in that position, because that's basically what it boils down to. Like, you know, that's a thing that a parent is going to want to provide their kid for Christmas, and you're going to hold the key over their head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I think
scalpers are assholes.
Yeah.
Taken out and shot.
Yes.
I think that should be
there's,
well, maybe not shot. That's getting excessive. Like, their hands beaten with a hammer. Yes.
And then shot. See, it works. I'm all for get rid of the criminals immediately and just be done with it.
Hey, all lives matter, right?
I don't know about that.
I'm hanging up. I don't want in on this boat.
And you find a dude who isn't a store owner who has like 10 PS5s. Well, you know that they scalped them, so let's just break all of the bones in their hands and feet and then take them out and shoot them.
Oh, I definitely hate scalpers, because I'm still trying to find a PS5. And what pisses me off is everyone was saying Walmart is going to have them on Black Friday, online only for in-store pickup.
Which, and scalpers got them all.
No, they never went on sale.
Huh.
Never. I never got an alert that they went on sale.
Well, that sucks.
Now in stock shows that they never went on sale.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they couldn't get any more. I mean,
no, my local stores all have like 6+ systems in stock, but they're only for online orders, which you cannot order.
That is stupid.
Yeah.
You should give them a call and be like, hey, yeah, I want one of these Xboxes. It's for online order only, but it won't let me order it online. So, hey, hi, let's order it on the phone.
Yeah, we gave up, and instead of trying to get a PS5 anytime soon, we just bought games on Xbox instead.
Well, I mean, Dragon, you were going to buy them anyway, so...
Tetris and Puyo 2, I pre-ordered that. Immortals, I'm excited about that one.
See, I bought two games during this sale. Obviously, one of them was Crisis Remastered. The other was I got Control Ultimate Edition.
Hey, I caved and got it too.
Shame.
Well, I didn't have the DLC, and the DLC, I think, for the season pass or whatever it was, I think was probably $20, and that's what it was on sale. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'll just buy it." Like. And then I've already beaten all the DLC. That game is now 100%ed.
Damn.
They have updated the game at some point to allow you to have invincibility and one-shot kills, and it doesn't affect your achievements.
Ooh.
So you can flip that on and play through the entire game. And oh my god. Thank God they did that.
I am now interested in revisiting Control.
Yeah, it that makes it so much easier, because some of the DLC is actually difficult. The Altered World Events, which is the last one they did, its last boss is a fucking cunt cake, and it sucked. It took me like 2 or 3 hours to beat it. And then they had a title update, which was the first thing they added to it, which was a bunch of trials that you could do. And I barely managed to pass the first set of it, and there's 3 sets. And then I flipped that option on, and I just breezed right through the rest of them. I was like, because if you get the last one done, you get a new outfit for Jesse, and I like having all the outfits. So I was like, I'm just going to flip this on and get through this, and I did it. Like, the first one took me 6 hours to beat, because I kept failing, having to redo it over and over and over. The second and third tiers, I got through both of those in like 30, 40 minutes combined, because those options were on. And I was like, oh, this is good. Best option ever. Every game should get that. I don't care about you fucking difficulty purist fuckers. Don't use the damn option. Let everyone else do it, because Spray and Pray is about all I can do in games like that.
Hey, I agree. Like I said, I'm interested in giving Control another shot if I could turn on one-hit kills and invincibility and not have to worry about that affecting achievements.
Yeah,
you can do it now. Easy mode. Give it to me.
Did they add it? Did I get that stuff in the first time?
What?
Originally, it had some other options, but if you enabled them, it would prevent you from getting achievements. Right. However, it seems like you can enable those now without it saying you can't get achievements anymore, which is fantastic.
Huh. Yeah, I'll be bitching later about a game that shut off achievements.
Oh yeah, lots of games that have these kinds of options do that.
Yep.
Because it's too easy or whatever bullshit. I'm just thinking, I fucking love this.
Well, since you mentioned bitching about games, should we get to reviews?
Let's do it!
Yes, very yes.
Alright, got a handful of games to talk about tonight. First one is Serious Sam Collection, developed by Crow Team, published by Devolver Digital, released November 17th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Step into the shoes of the legendary action hero Sam Serious Stone, experience one of the most explosive shooter game series of all time as you save the world from a merciless alien invasion. Paul, tell us about the Serious Sam Collection.
I have no nostalgia factor with this game. And to an extent, you kind of need it. But to an even bigger extent, you kind of don't. If you have any kind of penchant for a first-person shooter with that old-school Doom feel, where you're just a big honky motherfucking dude going through, like, quipping one-liners and blowing shit up, you're going to be okay with it. You're going to be like, yeah, this is a game that I enjoy playing. And so, even without the nostalgia element for Serious Sam, I went into it and I started playing and I was like, yeah, this is a game that I would enjoy playing. Because I like one-liner smart-ass dudes who shoot shit with rockets, right? Like, I'm easy to please. I will say that this is basically like an HD remaster kind of situation. So they haven't made anything fancy here, okay? But as it is a collection, it does include Serious Sam, Serious Sam 2, Serious Sam 3, and a whole bunch of DLC for the other games, right? But again, it's not a full-on rework or anything, so it did not take me long to discover I could not sprint. And it did not take me long to realize that I really miss sprinting. I have heard people argue so much over whether or not sprinting in Halo was necessary. And my opinion has always been, well, of course you fucking need to sprint. Like, you need to be able to run, right?
Unless you're always running.
I will say, in Serious Sam, you do start to move fast enough that, like, you can just kind of accept it, you know? You don't move slow as a character, but I definitely still found myself clicking the stick and trying to run. And then when I didn't, I'd be like, what's wrong with my controller? Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't do that. Can't aim down sights either. You just gotta pull the trigger and whatever happens, happens. It definitely took some adjustment, right, to play a game like this. Because, again, I don't have that old school nostalgia. I don't think of... Most of my experience with shooters has been from a more modern standpoint. So that's what I have to compare it against. And it took a little bit of adjustment. I will give them credit. They were more than happy to throw crybaby modes out there. It's literally tourist mode. It's just for story. You can go through the game. There's not an excessive amount of enemies. The bulls are still bullshit. Every one of them. I fucking hate those things. But it's not so difficult that you're like floundering or anything like that at all. That was my preferred way to play the game. And hallelujah, they don't cut off achievements if you do that. Because I've bitched so much about that lately. It was nice to just hit story mode and be like, ah, as soon as an achievement pops, right? Like, I got my shit. I'm in here. Not a lot of accessibility options. Not a lot of the options, period. But they did have controller sensitivity for, like, the camera, so that helps. That's my biggest one, given my series of disabilities. I'm like, just don't make me do QTEs and let me have controller sensitivity. And Serious Sam's like, okay. We got you.
And anything seizure-ific in it?
Not from what I played, no. I didn't see anything that was problematic. The most, and even then it's not flashing, but there's I don't remember anything flashing. There are some monsters that are like lava monsters and they glow, but they don't particularly flash, you know? So you should be okay. Yeah. I was impressed at how good it looked, even though it was still rough, right? Like, you're playing the games and you're like, yeah, they show their age. But they held up a lot better than I was anticipating, even with having been reworked a little bit. They definitely held up better than I was expecting. Some of the cutscenes were still really difficult, especially in Serious Sam 1. There were a few where the character models like floating 3 or 4 inches above the ground and walking, and you're like, we just didn't quite get the clipping there, did we? It doesn't take away from anything. If anything, I kind of just like smirked and was like, yep, okay. And I was okay with it. I had a really good time. I regret not picking up Serious Sam 4. I watched Shiz play it and I was like, I want to play that. Right? The whole time I was watching him play, and then I thought, nah, I'd probably get bored with it really quick. So when Joe was like, do you want Serious Sam Collection? I was like, fuck yeah, I do. And I think this was a solid way to be introduced to the series, and it did make me want to keep playing. I will say, though, it would probably be a better idea to pick up 4 if you are more used to the modern controls and stuff. Start with 4 and then backtrack, which is kind of counter to my normal advice.
Yeah.
But I think you already, I think the collection is better suited if you're already familiar with the franchise and want that experience. Like if I hadn't seen 4, the collection might have actually been a little harder to attach to because I didn't know anything about the characters or anything. And the story is so weird and kind of out there, even for a goofy Doom type of clone, not Doom, Wolfenstein Doom. I don't know. Retro shooter clone that I don't remember them anymore. My brain's fried. It's Saturday. I'm trying, guys. I need my drugs. But you know, for a retro shooter type of clone in this genre, it's one of the better ones, I think, especially given how many I've played that are like modern rips on these kind of games. It was nice to play one that was just a retro game that has been reworked a little for the modern audiences. It is kind of a shame that, like, it's not a full-on remaster, but I've been spoiled by those, and I want those now. But for what is there, I think they did a really good job with it.
Well, then $30, your verdict?
Man, knowing that this is $30 and some of the other games I've played this week are also $30, this is an easy buy it. It's definitely worth the price.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next game is Professor Rubik's Brain Fitness, developed by Magic Pockets, published by Microids, released November 24th on Xbox One for $29.99. Good old Rubik's is back in a brand new shape with Professor Rubik's. Get your brain back on track in a new brain fitness game. He's ready to test you with fast and ludic minigames daily and see how much brain power you have. Cole, tell us about Professor Rubik's Brain Fitness.
Wait, if he's back, does that mean there was another one?
Possibly on other platforms?
Because this is the first one I have seen. So
I remember a Rubik's game on the Wii.
Maybe? Okay. All right. We'll roll with that. You only see Professor Rubik's at the very beginning, and he's a little bit rough of a character model. I'm not disappointed we don't ever see him again. He's just kind of there. Like, when he popped up on the screen, I was like, oh god, what have I gotten myself into with this game, right? And I love puzzle games, but I was a little concerned just from the start there. After you have your little introduction with him, it basically breaks down as to, hey, here's a menu screen. And you can then do daily training with various mini games. You can do an evaluation with the various mini games where we will actually give you a percentage of how smart you are. I'm pretty sure everybody fails this, like, immediately. I wish I had failed it a little more just so it would have been easier to get the achievement for improving. Because then I had to actually work at it to get good. And I was like, god damn it, I could have just made that achievement easier on myself if I'd pretended to be dumb. So you have the daily trainings, you have the evaluations, and then you can just go through if you want to and actually just pick any one of the mini games to play as training. The mini games are a variety of cube based puzzles. If you are thinking that it's like, here's a Rubik's Cube that you're going to solve virtually, that's not what you're getting. And I was very disappointed because they were basically like, instead, they go, we have cubes and we're going to throw them in the space, the void that is on the screen. And then we're going to break that void down into 2 or 4 quadrants, right? And you need to pick one of those quadrants that meets whatever question is at the bottom. But you got to do it fast because apparently if you think about your answer, you're dumb. That's how it grades you on this shit. The slower you are, the dumber you are. And then I'm just sitting here going, that's a little bit much. Sometimes you have to actually read the question, because the questions try to trick you. Like, they may say, which quadrant has more yellow cubes in it, but only one quadrant even has a yellow cube at all? And then you're like, well, that was worded kind of weirdly, wasn't it? So basically, it's so hard to describe this because they're all just different little mini games. But for one, for example, it throws the cubes up, they land on the quadrants, and you have to answer the questions by picking whichever quadrant answers the question. I will say I had a bit of a problem with these, not because they were hard or anything, but because sometimes you get punked. The question is placed in a large opaque white box, right?
Okay.
And sometimes some of the cubes are allowed to fall in an area that is obstructed by the large opaque box. So it may say, which quadrant has more green cubes? And you may see two different quadrants with two cubes, because one quadrant is at the bottom and the third cube is behind the white box. And you can't see it. So that's one of my biggest complaints. Like, this carried over into almost all the mini games somehow. There was another mini game where it would give you basically a white Rubik's cube in the middle, and it would make two of the cubes. It would start off easy with one cube being red. Eventually, it would add a blue cube. If you were smart enough to keep going within the time limit allowed, it probably added other ones. I was too dumb for it. Also, the box gets me. But like, the cube starts in the middle and then it just explodes. And then the red and the blue cube land somewhere on the screen, right? And then they turn white and you have to remember where they were. In a sea of white cubes, you have to remember which one had previously been red or blue. It's an interesting little memory game, but what do you do if the one that was red turns white and falls behind the white opaque box? You can't get it. So your only choice is to get a wrong answer. Another option that it had was, you have the cube in the middle and it flashes one side red, one side blue. I don't remember if there were colorblind options here, but there, the fact that there's so much reliance on color and stuff, there definitely needed to be. I meant to check it before I started the review. I completely forgot.
Proud of you.
It's holidays, man. I'm flying on autopilot and full of deviled eggs. And not enough drugs. But it'll do one side red, one side blue. And then it will just like rotate the cube randomly around the screen. And then it will say which side was red and which side was blue. And it's like, okay, basically the majority of the mini games are, hey, we're going to show you a color for a tenth of a second. Tell us where it was. There were a couple of mini games that were a little better. I did like I like letter puzzles very much, way better than numbers and color puzzles. Color ones are okay, but I do like letter puzzles. One of my favorite ones, and I was sad that they didn't have more options for letter puzzles, because this one was really cool, was it had two different Rubik's cubes, and instead of colors on the blocks, it had letters. And then in the middle, it would spell out a word. And you had to choose as quickly as possible from the two different scrambled sets of letters which cube had the word that was in the middle on it. That one I thought was pretty creative. There was another one involving matching numbers where you had to do quick addition or subtraction. And you would have to find two different equations that had the same solution. But it had absolutely nothing to do with Rubik's cubes. There was no cube involved in any way in that one particular puzzle. It was a little odd. I think for a collection of mini games as a whole, it was kind of mediocre. They went too hard on trying to fit cubes into things without it actually having a lot to do with an actual Rubik's cube in any kind of way. They were just like, hey, this is our brand. It's cubes and colors, and we hope you like it. good luck remembering shit. For the daily training, they do give you 3 tasks that you're supposed to do daily to, like, practice. There is an achievement for doing 100 days.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That's gross. That's just padding.
That's more than padding.
I was like, I have no motivation whatsoever to check into a game every day for 100 days. I just don't. I don't even do Call of Duty that frequently. I'm like, 2-3 times a week, if somebody reminds me to, you know? I'm not setting an alarm on my phone to be like, hey, do your 3 daily tasks today. If you miss the tasks, you can't go back and do them. They're the ones for the day, and that's that. It's a little much, but beyond that, it's okay, right? Like,
I mean, it doesn't sound horrible.
it's not horrible. And that's kind of the thing with it. Like, when I was playing it, I was like, this is okay. It's not something that I feel the urge to do frequently.
No.
But playing it once or twice at 2 a.m. for a couple of little short games was fine. And I think if they had just accepted that that's what it was, as far as a game, and not tried to, like, tie all these achievements to making major improvements and getting super high fast. There's an achievement for getting an answer in 0.2 seconds. 0.2.
Come
in
on.
A game where you have to read the question to answer it.
Yeah.
And it takes the time for reading against you. I literally just sat and got a whole bunch wrong. I was constantly just pressing down until down was the right answer.
Like, you achievement whore.
Yeah, I was just like, well, I was mad. I had something to prove at that point. I was like, you can't do this without cheesing it. And I think the scummy achievements on it kind of made it a worse experience.
Well, overall, yeah. $30, what do you say?
You gotta really, really fucking love these kind of cube-based mini games. It's a hard sell at $30. It really is. Like, I don't think most people are going to look at that and go, I can't wait to throw $30 at that when they could be throwing $30 at Luigi's Mansion 3 right now because it's on sale for Black Friday, right? You know? Like, there's a lot of other games that are a little bit better to spend $30 on. I think if you caught it on sale, then it would be like, yeah, try it. It's worth it if it goes on sale. But at its full price, it's a little harder.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Next game is called Poker Club, developed and published by Ripstone, released November 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S and PC, November 20th on PS4 and PS5 for $24.99. Live the life of a poker pro in the most immersive poker simulation ever seen with ultra HD 4K visuals and breathtaking ray tracing. Join a community of online players on their way to the top and track your progress in more than 10 Texas Hold'em tournament modes. Whether you're a seasoned poker pro or brand new to the table, perfect your play style for the chance to win big. Paul, tell us about Poker Club.
Can I be really honest?
Yes.
As you were just reading that, I wrinkled up my nose and raised my eyebrow and was like, this game? I played this on the 1S. So clearly, I didn't have ray tracing and shit.
Yeah.
But I felt like this is one of the ugliest fucking poker games I have ever played in my life. Like, my whole experience with the game was just like, oh, it's so unaesthetic. And you're talking about 4K and ray tracing, and I'm going, where? Wow, I feel so bad. That was just so not my experience with it. I think it does okay visually. I did have a glitch, and I thought initially that the glitch I was having was because I was playing on my computer, and so I was, like, streaming it from the Xbox to my computer. But I turned that off, and the glitch was still happening on the Xbox, too. And what was going on is when I was seated at a poker table, Anytime there was a character model on the edge of the screen, there would be a weird flashing strobe like Christmas lights on the edges, but only where there would be skin. And if you turned so that there, like if you turned your camera and panned it in one way or another so that there was not any skin or character models on the edge, it would go away. Which I'm sure made everybody thought I was shady as hell because my character is sitting there at the table looking at her cards, but her head is like way cranked to the left. Because when you're sitting at the table, you're there with everybody else's character models, right? Like you're actually in a little dusty, cramped bar room playing poker.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure everybody was like, this bitch ain't got nothing. She's looking all the way off to the moon. And it's really just like I'm trying to avoid the weird flashing glitch that I had. I thought it was a one-time thing. Moved it from external to internal. Moved it back. This glitch happened a lot. I dealt with it to play the game. When I was playing poker as a whole in the game, I was like, okay, this is fine. This is good. Right? But it definitely is rough around the edges visually on a 1S. Like I said, maybe it's way better on the Series X and the Series S. I can't speak to that, but it was not the prettiest poker game.
I was on a Series X and I'll be honest.
It's not pretty.
It's not the character models just aren't the best looking. The backgrounds and the environments looked great.
Those are great. Yeah.
But the actual character models I thought weren't that.
They almost look like uncanny wax figures sitting there. And then they've got the PUBG hair thing going for them. I've bitched about PUBG hair in the past, and that is going on here too, and it bugs me. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, Google, you can probably Google PUBG hair and it will come up and you will know exactly what I am talking about. It is some shit. I guess it looks better and since they've updated it, but back when I played it originally on Xbox, it was some rough shit. but yeah, it's a whole thing. It's got that old school PUBG hair going for it. Gameplay, it's fine. I think what I need in my life is another Full House Poker like we had on the 360. Do you remember Full House Poker?
Yeah.
Where like your avatar legit sat down at the table and you could do emotes and stuff. The poker, this one comes so close, right? Like it's Texas Hold'em and you got character models, ugly though they may be. And they're all around the table and they can do the emotes and you can customize how they look and you know, give them things to have sitting on the table and stuff. And it's okay, but it's just missing some of that magic that Full House Poker had that I never really could quite put my finger on what it was. I did have a good, easy enough time finding games. I didn't have any problems with lag. Like I said, I did have the glitch with the Christmas light look going on around the screen, but I didn't have any problems with lag overall while I was playing the game. There were quite a few times where a table would get down to where it would just be me sitting there staring at the wall waiting for somebody to show up. And even worse was the couple of times where a hand was being played by an invisible force. I don't know what was happening. There were cards on the table. They were being looked at. Somebody was betting something, but there you couldn't see a character model. There was no name. I don't know what was going on there. And those were the times where I was just like, I'm going to fold and wait. That's a little questionable. I did get a kick out of it. I was actually playing it last night. And I love poker. There was a dude who clearly has played this game way too goddamn much because he's like decked to the nines in some of the most expensive character clothes you can get, right? And I'm like, okay, this dude needs to chill. He's on the little kid's table, but he's dressed to the nines. Because it was just a 500 chip entry. And like, he's coming in and he's going big on everything. And then, I don't know why I did it, but I went all in on like a 7-2, which is called a whip. And I won with a full house. And the guy was so mad. I took all his money and he just left the table, and then I got a message and he was like, "You're using some kind of bot," and I was like, "What?" No, I'm just really good at poker.
Wow.
But it was just incredible luck where I just won with that 7-2 whip, and he was just so mad. Those are the kind of moments that I miss with a good poker game. And I had that. It's just that, again, the whole magic and quite charm of something like Full House Poker wasn't there. And I enjoyed myself, but fuck, the game is ugly.
Yeah, it's I really do feel bad ragging on the visuals because they make such a big deal about the visual.
like you're reading it and I'm going, am I wrong? Which game are we talking about? But
like the environments look spectacular. It's just the character models that it doesn't work for me.
I was hoping that was just an S issue too, and that maybe on the X it was nicer, but it is what it is. I will give them credit. There were some really neat customization options for the game. The hair color and stuff was a little on the iffy side, but they give you the option to like set the amount of wrinkles your character has to display their age. And I thought that was pretty cool. But everything else was like, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, overall, $25. What do you think of Poker Club?
We're so starved for good poker games on this past generation. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna roll with a try. I do think that the net code is there. The online play is there. Gameplay, if you like Texas Hold'em, is there. They just really need to polish up their character models.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is the Four Kings Casino and Slots, developed and published by Digital Leisure, released November 18th on Xbox One as a free-to-play game. The Four Kings Casino and Slots is a rich social online multiplayer casino gaming experience. Play all of your favorite casino games like poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, baccarat, slots, and more. Meet friends, climb the leaderboards, and win rewards to customize your avatar. Cole, this is more than just poker, so what'd you think of this one?
I had such high hopes. And let me say, at least as far as character models go, this is superior. This is still not like creme de la creme. But we're getting better, right? We've definitely moved up in the world. It looks a lot better. The hair's better. No PUBG hair. There were a lot of options. And I was pretty happy with creating the character. I do like that the character gets to move around freely through the casino. And you actually like walk up to a slot machine if you want to play slots. You go into a room if you want to play blackjack. You can full on go into a club and have a dance party. You gotta pay for them motherfuckers, but people can come and join you and you can have a dance party. And that was one of the coolest moments. It was almost like if you had, if you were playing The Sims but had online play and like were actually going and exploring a casino in The Sims, is kind of what it felt like I was doing. I was really impressed with it. Could have been a little smoother as far as like connecting to games goes, though. I don't know what all games you got to play, but I was mostly stuck with slots, and occasionally it would let me play blackjack. I was having a lot of issues connecting and staying connected. I kept getting disconnected a lot. When I signed on last night, because got to get them daily tokens, right?
Of course. Well,
when I signed on last night, I actually saw a warning at the bottom of the screen that they were aware of server issues and were working on them, but that there was no ETA for like having it fully fleshed out.
No.
At least they know it's an issue, but that meant that I was really limited in the types of games that I actually got to play because a lot of times I was disconnecting. So I found a lot of my time being dwindled down to just like exploring the casino and jumping in on people's dance parties and then playing slots because slots didn't require any special connectivity to play, right? Like you sit down and at the machine and it brings it up on your screen and you play the slots. I have no idea what I'm doing.
So much slots.
I have no idea what I'm doing with slots. I've never been good with them. Like, yeah, I guess roll 10 times. That seems fine because I can't figure out how to change it from anything else. And then I just sit and watch it. And David's like, I have never learned how to play slots. I was like, yeah, me neither. But this is going swell. It keeps giving me a little bit of money.
Don't you just pull the lever for slots? Isn't that all there is to it?
There's no lever, though, because it's there's no lever. Like, you literally can tell it how many times to replay the game for the version that I was playing. There are different ones, but this was the one that I could get to before I would get disconnected. Because it was having some serious connectivity issues. But you could just sit down and you could tell it, okay, re-roll it up to 10 times. And then you just sit there and wait while it did its thing and tell you if you won every now and then. And I'd be like, yay, okay. And then I try to go to blackjack again and it would be like, nope, we crashed. And I'd say, fine, I guess I'm going to go play poker club instead.
See, I found it the opposite. I had a lot more connection issues with Poker Club than I did with Four Kings.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't have any with Poker Club, but me and Four Kings were not getting along.
With Poker Club, there were times when I would start up the game and it would literally just show a table and it would never connect.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't. I had a different experience.
I mean, to be fair, there were times I went to go play Four Kings Casino and it just would not connect either.
Yeah.
But there were also times where I would play Four Kings for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours at a time and not have any connection issue.
See, my issue is like, oh, as long as I stay in, like, I'd have a span of like 2 rooms I could go to easily. But the moment I would need to go into another room that required loading, that's when I would hit a wall. And it'd be like, nope, to the main menu with you. And I'd be like, okay, then I guess I won't be playing this right now.
I will say so. I was disappointed that load times were not really increased on the Series X. I was hoping for some snappy load times, but I think most of the load time is connecting time.
Yeah.
And it's mostly not really loading, so it doesn't matter what system you're on, it's connecting.
It is a wait, too, which is a problem if you're trying to get to a dance party that's about to end. You're like, no, I gotta get in there and show them my moves. I liked the dance parties.
I also got to give Four Kings a shout out over Poker Club in the fact that there's more than just poker in Four Kings.
That is true.
Like,
and
I have spent an absurd amount of time playing bingo.
I can't even find bingo.
Really? You just go to the bingo hall.
Yeah, no.
That pull is up your mini map.
I wish was a little better. Like, I'm not good at navigating it. I do give them credit for having this big ass like virtual casino set up, and I think it looks great. But also, I have no sense of navigation.
That's why you just hit the select button to bring up the mini map, and then you hit the A button to go down to the legend, and you find bingo, and you hit the A button, and it teleports you.
Joe, from a web developer's standpoint, you're not supposed to require more than 3 clicks to get to a destination. So back this is too much.
Is one click.
Yeah.
That brings up the minimap. Uh-huh. And then you hit the A button to go to the list of places to go.
And then you gotta scroll down.
We're just scrolling, not button pushing.
How many times? You have to press down.
Well, that's not fair because where you want to go might be at the bottom of the list.
No, it's too many times. the other problem is that even if I look at the map and I'm like, oh, okay, I need to go this way. I have no sense of direction, and I also have shiny object syndrome. Well,
no, he's saying you can click on the area you want to go, and it just teleports you there.
It fast teleports you to wherever you want to go.
I didn't know that. I just thought I had to walk.
No.
Well, that's what you get for not using the mini-map correctly.
I thought I had to walk.
No. You can walk if you want.
Like, okay, that way. And then I'm like, oh, but look at this. Let me go here. And oh, look at that. There's a dance party over there. I thought I had to walk.
No.
Maybe the game would work correctly if you were just fast traveling everywhere instead of trying to walk to different
rooms.
I don't know.
Every time I tried to go into a room, it would crash, so fast traveling probably wouldn't work either. Not you crash, try that, though. Disconnect. But, you know, I don't know. Shit, I thought you had to walk.
Only in real life.
I can't do it in real life, neither.
That's why you don't live in Vegas. It's fine.
But yeah, I love bingo in the game. I've spent a lot of time on bingo. I have actually spent real money on this game as well. They have a lot of real money options for character customization. I think it's a little overboard and some of the prices are a bit steep, but I did buy two things. One was a black cat that I named Predator. That just follows me around everywhere. And then I dropped $5 on Auto Dabber gloves for bingo. Oh, my Lord. $5 and it auto dabs all of the numbers that come up. Oh my God. It makes bingo so fun.
Wow.
Can you get these things without spending real money?
No.
Can you use in-game currency or anything?
No.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, there are a lot of items, including these auto dabbers, that are real money only. But it is a free-to-play game otherwise. Like,
okay, that's good.
I'm not opposed to some monetization in that regard. And what one person... it's not going to be a standard issue thing where one person is like, oh, I have to buy every single item that's available. You're going to find one or two games that really stick with you, and that's what you play the most, and you might want to plunk down some money on something related to that, like with the bingo gloves.
Nah. But overall, as a free-to-play game, what do you think of it? Is it worth downloading and giving a go?
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck it, why not?
How easy are the achievements for it?
Oh, they are awful.
Yeah, no, don't even. It's a free-to-play. I don't know why you even ask when it's a free-to-play game. Nobody plays a free-to-play game for easy achievements because that doesn't exist.
Oregon exists.
What the fuck? That is right. You're right. I forgot about that one.
I don't even know what that is.
Fuck. Okay, Action so RPG. Like, that's the exception Ooh. That proves the rule.
Yeah.
Kinky bananas. What happens if you lose all your money in either of these last two games?
I don't know. I haven't lost all my money in Four Kings. I've actually done pretty well. I've made a decent profit with what I started with.
If you lose all your money at a table in Poker Club, you can just buy back in. But like a lot of the early tables, it's broke up enough pay-wise that you'd have to be on a just ridiculous lose streak to lose all your money at any given point. Like, their entry tables are 500 chips, and you start the game with 50,000 chips.
Oh, my.
So, if you can't turn a profit at that point, maybe poker was never for you anyway.
I think you started Four Kings, I want to say 20,000.
Oh, I don't remember because I know I have like 500,000.
Yeah, the folks at Digital Leisure were nice enough to hook us up with like the VIP and some of the dance bombs and or the dance parties and chip bombs, which was cool to have.
Yeah.
None of them are game changing and none of them, like, you don't need to drop real money on this stuff. The option's there if you want to, but
Or if you really love dance parties.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. I know Carnage, actually, I think he went bust in Four Kings Casino, and he had to, I think he said he dropped $5 on a chip pack to buy back into the game.
Oh, wow. Okay, so so if you lose everything, you have to spend real money.
You don't have to. Every like 13 minutes or so, you get 250 free chips that you can just collect at one of the chip stations. And every day you get a free bonus spin that gives you like another 500 to 1,000 chips.
Oh, nice.
So they do keep a steady flow trickling down towards you if you need them, but I still have like 400,000 right now, so I'm good.
Yeah, I'd be the dumb one who would put like everything on just one game just to see if I could double it or something and then lose it all, because that's me. That is a very me thing to do. I will say
motherfuckers need to stop calling false bingos. Like, they need to punish people who excessively do that, bitches. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Cave Digger, developed and published by MeKiwi, released November 20th on Xbox One for $14.99. Cave Digger is a mining game in an alternative Western setting. Gear up with numerous unique tools and explore the town in the depths of the mountain. Discover secrets, Easter eggs, and multiple endings. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML Podcast. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Cave Digger for the Xbox One. Developed and published by MeKiwi, Cave Digger is an action-adventure resource-gathering game where you play as a nameless miner who is tasked with collecting ore to gain money to revitalize the little mining town of Atari Gorge. Atari. I think it's Atari. Whatever. Let's get started with the review. I have to say, when I loaded this game up, I was incredibly disappointed, hurt almost. As y'all know by now, resource gathering games are my thing. I thoroughly enjoy turning my brain off and just getting the shiny stuff. It's a thing for me. In this game, I was really taken aback by how rough it looks. The game doesn't push the boundaries of any graphical contest you can think of. Matter of fact, if you told me that this game was supposed to release on 360, I'd been like, yeah, I could see that. It's almost kind of ugly. However, after about 15 minutes of playing, this no longer mattered. I'm just saying it now to get out of the way. The game is so much more than its graphics. At the heart of this game, it's a resource gathering game. You gather ore and gems that that you have to mine from a shaft that you get to go to. Paul, I blame you for this.
It's contagious.
It is. You gather ore and gems that you have to mine from a shaft that you get to from an elevator in the saloon. That doesn't sound riveting, I know, but I became obsessed with this. Once you get the hang of the mining and you start making money, then you can unlock different things to help you make more money. These things range from dynamite to blow up rocks quicker, a drill for oil, a saw for finding relics, and a gauntlet that does nothing until you find the right stone. Then it becomes awesome. Trust me. Now, the game doesn't tell you much. The game doesn't tell you that there are mini quests that you can do, other buildings to explore outside of the saloon, and if you buy the right thing, you can repair the train, which will open up the game to you. You can take a train ride through the land to find more stuff. I love discovering this on my own. Most times I complain about certain games not having tutorials, but this isn't one of them. It tells you how to use the items and it lets you go. Game has a very sly sense of humor as well. It's all done and told from your the disembodied voice coming from your radio. When you do something of note, said disembodied voice will chime in and give you praise, sort of. It's chuckle-worthy. As far as the gameplay goes, it's really simple. You mine things, you turn those things in for monies, then you buy things, and then you mine more. Maybe you stumble upon an atomic bomb, detonate it, and end the game. Oh yeah, this game has 9 endings, and causing nuclear holocaust is one of them. I won't tell you how that happened, but it was the easiest to unlock. Another aspect that I really liked is the game doesn't end just because you find an ending. The credits roll and it puts you right back in the saloon with all your stuff and money's no worse for wear. I dig that. Ha! Get it? Dig.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm letting that one sink in. Cave Digger is available right now on Xbox One for $14.99, is completely backward compatible with the Series X, and should you buy it, I really enjoyed playing this game, but I also recognize it may not be for everyone. Regardless, I'm still giving it a buy it. Once my eyes adjusted to the visual charm, I found there's a really awesome game. It was funny without being overbearing, frustrating enough for me to get my hackles up, and satisfying when I was able to progress more in the game. It's fun. Y'all should play it. Finally, word to the wise, there is a version of the game called Cave Digger Riches. Don't buy that one. That's the VR version, which isn't going to be useful unless you have a VR setup. Other than that, go nuts. So there you go. All right, next game is Towaga Among Shadows, developed by Sunnyside Games, published by Forever Entertainment, released November 25th on Xbox One for $14.99. Towaga Among Shadows is an action-packed game where your skill and perseverance will be severely tried. Atop the sacred temples, learn to master the light and exercise hordes of enraged creatures firmly set upon tearing you to shreds. Ol, tell us about Towaga Among Shadows.
This game is kind of hard to explain. I even practiced explaining it to David the other day, and he just kind of stared at me, and I was like, hold on, let me just bring it up and show you what I'm talking about. So I apologize if I'm sounding really erratic for this one. It makes sense when you're playing it. So you play as, I will never pronounce this properly, I believe it's Kimu. C-H-I-M, and then you with the slanty thing over it. I am really technically inclined here.
An accent mark.
Yes, but there's a proper name for it, even beyond that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's a slanty thing. I haven't had my drugs. I'm getting by, okay? The fog is thick.
Proud of you.
But are you slanty thing proud of me?
No.
Yeah. So anyway, the game plays kind of like a tower defense, which is really weird because I fucking hate tower defense games. Okay. I just fucking do. But bear with me. It plays like a tower defense wherein your character is the tower. So you are stuck in the middle of the screen on top of a temple, and you have to purge 5 of these temples of this void purple poison that we just use for everything bad in games now, right? there is a bad dude named Metnal, which is basically like mental with a letter flipped for some reason. And he's dark and void covered, and he's just ruining everything, and you got to use the light to get rid of it, because that's what we do in games now. So atop your little temple, you will be swarmed by enemies, and you need to use your right thumbstick to move the beam around, and basically any void creature that the light touches gets destroyed. It's super simple to start with. And you're like, yeah, I'm a beast. I'm destroying things. And then you remember that that's because you turned on assist mode. Hallelujah for assist mode. All games should have it, right?
Yes.
Assist mode for Towaga gives the player 50% more health and 50% more beam damage. No questions asked. No punishment. You still get achievements. Everything is fine. It's like it's not even there.
Yay.
That's fucking beautiful.
Yes, it is.
It's not flawless because it works very, very well for the story mode, but it has no effect in the survival mode, of which there are 2, and it has no effect in the epilogue type of story. I don't know why they've considered this segment separate from the actual story. But not only does assist mode not work for it, you can't even turn it on, but also your character is weakened just naturally by being in this section of the story. So it's not perfect. You can get through, you can technically beat the game in assist mode, get all the achievements for having done so, and enjoy yourself. Earn your crystal shards, which you can use for upgrades so that your beam does more damage, you have extra life and things like that. But then if you think, okay, well, I beat this part of the game and I'm going to move on into the next part of the story, well, fuck you. because then they take that all away. Your upgrades don't have any effect, and the game is harder. And that's kind of where you need the assist mode settings more, and they're not there. I would like to see that changed. I think they've got so much of the right idea with assist mode, with making the game just a little easier, right? A little extra health, a little extra damage to help you get through. But having it only be concentrated to the initial five temples and then leaving out the other three-fourths of the game is a little tough. At least you do have the benefit of you can keep your upgrades that you earn while you're in assist mode, and you can use them for the survival modes. But for that last end segment, I couldn't even get through the first wave. It was just an onslaught, and it was unbearable, and I couldn't do it. And it was a shame, because I actually was really enjoying the game. In addition to the mode where you are effectively the tower of a tower defense, you also have a sequence that pops up occasionally where you are flying. And so you have the freedom to move your character around in the sky while you're taking on these enemies as well. So when I said there's two survival modes, one survival mode is on the temple, the other is flying. That's why it's broken down into two different ones. There's achievements tied to getting to waves 5 and 10. Far more viable since you get to keep your upgrades, but again, I would still like to see the assist mode be carried over into it. Just to help a little more.
Well, overall, $15. What do you think of this one?
I do think it's a buy it still. Like I said, if you have difficulty and you need those adjustments like I do, then you need to take that into consideration, that it does kind of spike in difficulty, especially if you are using assist mode and then you are kind of thrown out of it with no other option. That does become a problem. But as the game is, it's still enjoyable, and you can at least experience most of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't punish you for doing it.
Speaking of enjoying things, there's another benefit to Four Kings Casino I have found, in that my cats approve of the kitty cat avatar. They have been staring at it this entire time that I've been just sitting here. They're staring at the TV, trying to...
Oh no, he's got another one of us. he's put this one in the magic box.
They very much are paying attention to that cat. So. All right, My Aunt is a Witch, developed by Graven Visual Novels, published by Sometimes You, released November 25th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Vita for $9.99. My Aunt is a Witch is a visual novel full of adventures and quests in the world of magic, where you have an incredible chance to become an apprentice of one of the most peculiar and charismatic witches. Aki, tell us about My Aunt is a Witch.
Okay, you play as Thomas, but this game might pronounce it as Thomas. You never know. He's just a little kid who's effectively kicked out of home because his dad met a gold digger, and she's one of those evil types of stepmothers who's like, I don't want the kid here. We must kill him, or something. So they effectively kick him out of the house, even though he's a minor, and that's illegal. And they hand him an old photograph from when he was like a year old or some shit, and say, here, go find this house. It's your aunt's house. Go find there and live with her. So your character is just like, okay, sure, whatever, and just goes. Because, you know, hey, that's normal. And yeah, it ends up she's a witch. And you're a normal person. You're like, this shit isn't real. What the hell's happening? This doesn't make sense. But you quickly acclimate to it with your witch aunt and her cat boyfriend. Yeah, you heard me right. She turned her boyfriend into a cat and won't change him back. And they're still dating. I'm not gonna, I don't want to ask her about the mechanics of that, but yeah. So most of the game is you don't have any magic power, so instead you decide you're going to be a potion maker to help her with her business, and because, hey, why not? Everything else is magical, why not make magical potions? Seems legit for like a 12-year-old or something to be like, yes, I'm this amazing potion maker now, because I am smart. You're 12, too, so... It's an adventure visual novel to a degree. You can make choices, but most of those choices are either the right choice or a choice that gets you killed. So,
nice.
Yeah. So there's really only one path in this one. There's two different endings, and they're based on whether you touch a bear or not. A teddy bear. I guess I need to specify that. A teddy bear. You can pick it up off the ground, or you can choose to ignore it. And that gives you a different ending. That's the only choice that changes the endings.
Wow.
Other than that, there are some mini games in this, which are effectively quick time events. They show you a bunch of arrows that you have to push in order in a circle, and you just have to push them before the time runs out. And that's during when you're actually making the potions. Each ingredient you put in has one of those on it, and if you fail that, you fail and you have to start over. And after three fails, you completely fail, and you're like, well, you're fucking useless. hey, you are, so it's fine. As for the actual story itself... The entire thing, I'm pretty sure, was made via Google Translate.
Oh, gee.
Because the writing is so bad. like, there are times where entire sentences don't make any sense because none of the words really fit together. Most of the time, you can grasp what they're trying to say, even though they're not doing it correctly. But there's a few times where it's like, I have no idea what this is even trying to tell me, because this is fucking gibberish.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. I like the gist of the story, but oh my god, trying to read that is such a pain in the ass, because it is written so badly. They need someone who speaks English to actually go in there and edit that real bad. That's really all the story is about. You trying to make potions, and she introduces you at the very end to the witch and wizard world, so you can take a test to become a potion maker or not, to see if you actually can get a apprenticeship, because your aunt has lost a lot of apprentices, and when I say lost, I mean she's gotten a bunch of them killed. like 12 of them in a row. And your character knows this, and he's like, well, you know, 12 people have died under my aunt's rule, so why not I make an even 13? It's a good lucky number, right? Dumbass. So her teaching license effectively was revoked. And so she's also breaking the rules by teaching you so she can get the license back and so you can become a proper apprentice. Everything in this is just like, we're going to break the rules so I can get something back that I lost because I broke the rules. it's good though. There's a lot of collectibles and optional things you can do in it that are kind of fun that happen just as you're playing, because you click on fucking everything and there's a lot of things to click on. You unlock a background and a CG stuff for it. After you beat different parts of the game, you collect the background and what happened in the scene immediately, which is nice, and you can go and check that even while you're in the middle of playing the game. You can go in and look at those. Nice. Which is kind of cool. That's pretty much it.
Well, then $10, what do you think about My Aunt is a Witch?
Ugh. On half off, I say sure. At full price, I'm going to have to say no, just because it is a lot of gibberish.
Because so if they get a proofreader.
If they get a proofreader, yes, $10 I think would be fine. Because it's decent in two playthroughs. It does leave you on a cliffhanger. So they're obviously planning on making another one. And I really hope they get someone who speaks English in there to do it. but overall, yeah.
So what I'm hearing is you're offering your services free of charge.
Sure, fuck it, why not? I mean, I've helped developers with games in the past. Why not? The hell with it. I don't care.
Oh, but, Coltrane's on my lap now. Hi, Kat. How are you doing? It's not like I'm doing a show or anything, right? Hi. Yeah. Can I help you?
He just wanted to be closer to the other cat.
No, she's going to hang out with me, I guess. Final game to talk about tonight is called More Dark, developed by Huge Pixel, published by Rattlelake Games, released November 24th on PS4, 25th on Xbox One, 27th on the Switch for $4.99. More Dark is a two-dimensional platformer with a side view with elements of puzzles. The game takes place in a strange place called Hell. That's kind of repetitive, but not a single person who got there will be able to return back, or can he still? Cole, what is More Dark?
Fuck, I don't know after that summary, and I played it. basically, there's a whole slew of people who know Rattlelake Games at this point for their easy completions, and More Dark 100% falls into that category. I will say we've seen so many visual novels lately that it's kind of a nice throwback to get one of their weird little quirky platformers. Everything is doom and gloom, and it's a hellscape. And interestingly enough, for the Xbox release, I don't know about PlayStation, but for the Xbox release, they have dropped all the marketing that surrounded the busty she-devil.
And that's a shame.
Like, that was what the box art is on, like, Steam. And all the, like, everywhere I've seen it marketed that I've been able to find it, it, like, focused on the busty pixel art she-devil, right? And then, like, I looked at the box art on my Xbox dashboard, and I was like, oh, well, they really took her out of the center focus there. I can't fathom why that decision was made.
Well, whatever reason, it was a bad decision.
Well, if it makes you feel better or worse, she's not really too much for the game. Like, they were definitely playing to an audience when they were using her for marketing. Because
yeah, kind of audience.
Yeah, you play as a little pixel art demon dude, and it's essentially a puzzle platformer. You come into a room, and there's another door on the other side, and your goal is to get from one door A to door B. Along the way, you're going to have to push some boxes around. You might have to use some bombs. You might have to jump off of a prisoner's head to get to a higher level and go into the door. And that's really the long and short of the game. Like, that's the entirety of it. It's just get from A to B and get out. There are some secrets lurking around in the game. I found a secret bonus room where it was like playing Pong, if you will. Almost like a tie between Pong and Brick Breaker. Like, there were gremlin demon thingies on the top of the screen, floating. And then there was lava at the bottom and a paddle that you could move, right? But the paddle is like a piece of rock, you know? And then the little demon dude that you've been controlling the whole time is standing at the top with a pitchfork, shooing off office workers, they look like. And they fall down, and then you have to, like, bounce them back up to clear the demon heads for the different waves. It was such a nice change of pace to find these little bonus rooms, because they were so odd and so out of the way from what the rest of the game was, that they broke up the monotony of move, box, jump, jump on enemy, go through door, you know?
No.
So it was really neat to see how they got like creative with these little bonus rooms and stuck them in. You can also get upgrades when you start off. You don't have the bomb, for example. You just get to move boxes around. You can't pull boxes. You can only push them. And this requires you to get really creative with solving some of the rooms. And it left me stuck on a few. I think it was room 24, where I was just sitting here like, I'm so fucking fed up with this room. I can't figure it out. I'm so mad. And then, like, I got up and got a piece of cheesecake to eat my feelings. And then I came back and I beat it.
Sometimes you just need to step away for a minute.
Sometimes you just got to eat your feelings and then solve the puzzle. After I did it, I sat there and I thought, I fucking have to admit I did it this way. I don't know why I was so stuck on it in the first place. I struggled with it so bad. And then when I solved it, I was like, well, fucking of course. And that was kind of just me versus the whole game. Every time I would get stuck, I was sitting there going, well, it's clear the answer is obvious. And yet I don't have the good sense to figure it out because I would overthink it. Everything was so simple, but I would overthink it. And then like I'd have 60 deaths in a room and I'd just be annoyed.
Proud of you.
It's solid for what it is. I mean, it's just meant to be a little puzzle platformer and it does a really good job of being that. It's the pixel art. It's not my favorite, but it's fine. It's not the worst I've ever seen either. And it, you know, the puzzles are I think that puzzles are good if they are something that you can overthink. Like, I play so much shit that requires me to do so much out-of-the-box thinking to solve a puzzle that I just immediately go for out-of-the-box. And then I sit there and I look at it and I go, I really just had to move the box one space, didn't I? And then I go, that's good design. That fucks me over. There's going to be people who are like, this is too easy. And I'm like, no, because clearly you only ever play this kind of shit like once or twice and never really have to break your brain for it. So then, like, every time I went in a room, I was like, great, how do I have to break my brain to get out of this room? And then it would be like, you don't. Oh, what a nice change of pace. So yeah, I think for what it is, it's a quick completion. If you're willing to stop after you get the completion, it's a typical Radalico platformer in that regard. You don't have to play the whole game. I think you should. There were definitely some really creative little upgrades you could get later on that kind of changed the dynamics and everything. Still, everything was simplified enough that it was doable for most people if you weren't me who was overthinking everything. But yeah, I had a good time with it.
Cool. $5, your verdict?
Yeah. Fuck it, why not? Buy it up. Get you some achievements and then maybe have a little fun.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. Somehow still went 2 hours.
I know. My husband was texting going, are you done yet? I was like, no.
Wasn't my fault, so yeah. I'm good.
I was like, Aki doesn't know how to shut up.
Fuck you. You talk more than I do any given time.
Yeah, but I have good things to say.
Everything I say is pick
up
gold.
That my jaw popped? I don't know if the mic picked that up. My jaw just cracked.
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Wow, that hurt.
Well, does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Nope. Hang up. Bye.